Yeah, man. Welcome to another episode of the Be Limitless Today podcast. I am your host, Jarvis Cobb, and we are rocking and rolling in our root work series, man. I just gonna keep going, man. This is working out for me. I'm hoping it's a blessing to you guys. So we're just gonna keep rocking with it. I did it a little different this time. Normally I pick them at random. This time I picked them beforehand, just had a few thoughts on it, and now we doing the video. So let's just start with number one. God's promise will often be different than you pictured, slower than you wanted, and farther than you thought. And the farther is, it's going to go farther or be more impactful than you thought it would be. So this was a Stephen Furtick sermon that I watched. And when I read that, it takes me to the time I got laid off. I was working at a job, going for a promotion for about a year and a half, asking what do I need to do, getting more involved with different projects, getting more involved with different teams just to show some more versatility and just, you know, being more active in more aspects of my position that was, you know, above my pay grade at that time, thinking that was going to lead me to the promotion. So I'm praying to God. I'm asking, what should I do? I'm doing all of these things. And then I get laid off. And when I got laid off, man, I mean, of course, I was just shattered. I didn't know what was going to happen. I was going to be losing the insurance a month before my son was born. I didn't understand why I was chosen from the whole team to be laid off. And it was just a very tough, tough time. But with this, though, by the time that same year was up, so that happened in January, by December, I had a new job that I was making almost double my salary, and I was in a far better financial position for my family. What I learned through that, though, the key message in that is to see it through. When you're going through something and you ask God for something, see it through. He's taking you through something that's not looking like it's supposed to look in your mind. It's not going the way you feel it should go. And it most likely doesn't feel good at all. But see it through. And you might ask, how do I see it through? All right, so this is what I did to see it through. I started to realize the opportunities that I had. I shifted my perspective. I stopped thinking about, why did they choose me? Why was I laid off? Why would it be at this time in my life, with one of the most important moments in my life? What did I do to deserve this type of treatment? I shifted from that to, okay, so I got laid off. My son is about to be born, so that means I have the opportunity to be present. I can now develop and build a true relationship with him, being there for him, changing the diapers, making the bottles, holding him when he's crying, putting him to sleep, getting up when he wakes up, just being very present for him to develop and build a relationship with him. And that is something that money can't buy. That is something that you can't get back. Time with these kids go by so fast, man. And I didn't realize it at the time because I was still kind of, but I started to, as time went on, learn to be more present. And my wife was pushing it on me. Be present. Just be here. You got this opportunity to have something with your son that's going to last a lifetime. Lean into that. And I did. And in the end, it turned out to be the biggest blessing because I landed a new job that serves us very well financially. I have a great relationship with my son. He loves me. I love him. We have our connection. So see it through, people. See it through. If you ask God for something, it may not look like what you think it should look like, and it may not feel great in the beginning, but see it through. Shift your focus, shift your perspective, and see the opportunities in it while you're going through it. All right, let's go to number two. God can do more while you're sleeping than you can do while you're straining. Rest in power. God can do more while you're sleeping than you can do while you're straining. Man, this one took me back to when I tore my knee in playing college basketball. I mean, it was the night before the conference championship game. Our team was like 25-5 or something like that. We were having a really, really good year. And we weren't practicing hard, and coach got into us for it. So very next play after he finished yelling at us, I'm amped up. I get a steal, I go down the court, I go for a layup, and a guy try to block my shot and ends up falling on my leg. I tear my ACL, MCL, calf muscle, and my meniscus all in one shot. Boom. I'm done for the season. With this is the recovery part. Normally for an ACL injury, you talking, 8 to 12 months at least. At least 8 to 12 months. I was so focused on getting back on the court, getting back playing basketball, that I pushed it. I pushed it. I forced it. I got back on the court in 5 months for the next season, and I end up tearing my knee again. And boom, now I'm out for the second season, and I'm out for at least a year. I tell you that story because in my mind, I thought I was doing the right thing. I thought doing physical therapy more would help. I thought icing more would help. I thought getting back on the court and putting my knee back into the positions to have to be stable and learn how to jump off of it again and get back to those quick movements, I thought that would be the best for my knee to heal and get to the place that I thought it should be at. But the truth is, when you have a surgery like that, the biggest thing you need is rest. The number one thing you need is to allow that knee to accept a new piece that's in there, because they have to replace my torn ACL with the piece of my hamstring from my other leg. So that knee isn't familiar with that body part being there. So it has to reacclimate itself. It has to connect itself. It has to accept that new piece. And that takes time and rest. And I feel God works the same way. We think we ask for these things. We want to do these things, but then we try to put so much effort into making it happen. We try to put so much effort into forcing it to happen quicker than it's supposed to, forcing it to happen right now. We need this to happen in 6 months, or my life is going to look like this, or this is not going to be working, or I'll be feeling this way. When God is saying, if you would just chill out, I got a plan to get you there to where when you get there, it's going to be right. You're going to be ready and you're going to be able to sustain it. I rushed and forced myself back on the court. I was not able to sustain jumping up and landing on that knee and pushing off that knee. And I was carrying extra weight because I had, been off my feet for 8 weeks after the surgery. So gained a little more weight, which is the worst for knees. I was working in my own power. I was working in my own knowledge. And we got to remember that God's knowledge is above our knowledge. His thoughts are above our thoughts. So if we are to lean on him, lean on him, lean on his timeline, lean on his plan. And what does that mean for us? Lighten your load in. Lighten what you think you need to be carrying. You're trying to do too much, man. You're doing too much, and you don't have to. That's the part. You're doing too much and you don't have to. So lighten your load. Focus on what God tells you to do. Focus really on getting out of the way and allowing the plan to work, allowing the thing to work. And while you're doing that, before you know it, it's going, the vision that you have, the life that you want, the things that you're praying about are going to start happening for you. But go through the process, let God lead you, and watch what he do for you. Let's go to number three, man. Look at this. Let's see. I still picked five at random, but these are kind of lining up pretty well, man. Look at this. God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. I mean, there's so many ways you can go with this one, but one I think about that I can put into my own experience and is with people in fitness and me trying to coach somebody in fitness is I've run into a couple of times to where you're trying to explain something and the worst answer somebody can give you when you're coaching them is for them to say, I know. That is the worst thing somebody can ever say. If you're in a situation where you're learning, you're paying somebody to do something for you, you're trying to grow in a certain area and you've decided to get some coaching. But when you are trying to be coached or when you are being coached, your mindset is, I know. Your thought process is, oh, I already know how this is going to happen. Oh, I already know how to lose weight. Oh, I already know how to get this opportunity and make this thing happen to where you then shut down. You shut down any possibility for growth. You shut down any possibility for you to actually achieve the things you want to achieve because you are so stuck in your own ways. You know too much, and that's your problem. You know too darn much. And the real thing about it is you don't know, because if you did know, you wouldn't need somebody else's help. If you knew what to do, you wouldn't need to go out seeking someone else's help. If you knew what to do with your life, you wouldn't need to talk to God. If you knew how to fix yourself and fix your situations on your own, God would have no purpose in your life. So this is just reminding me that I don't know and I don't need to know. It's not my place to know. If I knew everything, if I knew what to do, then I wouldn't need a God to go to, which wouldn't make sense. It wouldn't make sense to create for God to create us and then him not have any place in our life, him not have any purpose for our life. So the main takeaway for me on this one is to submit to God's plan. If I'm a be a follower of God, then I must submit to his plan, his way of doing things, his will, and to realize that when I'm in that and when I'm operating in that, that's when things will come together for the good. That's when getting laid off, that's when tearing your knee up, that's when getting evicted from your apartment, losing your car in the same week. That's when, meeting a girl and then losing your place and thinking that n she's never going to talk to you again. And then she ends up being your wife. Things turn out for the good if you let God do his thing. If you love God and you submit to what he wants to do for you in your life, things will turn out for the good. So that's what I got for you is submit. Know that you don't know, and then submit to the God that is guiding you and leading you to the best possible outcome for your life, and trust that that will happen. Let's go to the next one. Don't expect your preparation to look like your calling. Don't expect your preparation to look like your calling. This one took me to me praying to God to bless my brand, Be Limitless today. For me having the idea, I want to be the number one motivational, inspirational brand in the world. I want to inspire billions to take actions towards their goals. And then with that, God is like, okay, all right, then if that's what you want, then let me send you through a couple of things. So let me go ahead and let you get laid off. Let me go ahead and let you have the thing you love the most and have your life was surrounded and engulfed in basketball. And let me go ahead and let that be taken away from you. Let me allow you to be laid up on the couch with one leg having surgery on it, the other leg being having the piece pulled out of it, and you got both legs wrapped up, and now you can't play basketball, and now your grades are terrible because you didn't focus on that, and now you got to figure out what you need to do in your life. And let me allow you to disappoint your wife to a place where your marriage was in a really rocky place. Let me allow that to happen. I'm thinking, God, I didn't ask for all that. I just wanted to be the number one motivational, inspirational dude in the world. Why? I didn't ask for none of that. But I gotta realize that God is allowing me to go through things to build me to stand on that number one spot, to build me to be able to sustain and really, really respect the position once I get there. Things come too easy, we don't give it that much value. If it would come the way I want it to come, I would think I had the power and I'm the one that made it happen. Look, it's just like the last one. Submit is just a mindset that you must have when you are giving your life to God. You must submit to His plan. So know that God is going to allow you to go through things to prepare you for that thing you asked for. You know what I mean? This is like any sports, the NBA. You don't play games every day. You practice more than you play games. You have an off season to where you're not even playing any big games, but you should still be preparing consistently, getting ready, testing things out. In the preparation, that's where all your mistakes can happen. You don't wait for the game to start getting prepared for the game. You make your mistakes in preparation. You go through your lumps, and then once you get to the game, you've worked so hard in practice to where the game comes easy to you. So know that the life that you're going through, some of the struggles you may be going through, some of those tough things that are happening, you know, those thorns in your side, as Pastor Furtick would like to say, those are the things that are setting you up to sustain the thing that you're asking, the thing that you're praying for. I pray for a blissful relationship and a blissful, you know, a blissful marriage with my wife. So God allowed me to disappoint her. And I guess that's one thing with me is I hate disappointing my wife. I hate when she thinks that I didn't get it right. I hate when she feels hurt. And normally my initial response to that would be defensive, thinking that I'm doing all of these things and you're only focusing on that, or I shut down and withdraw completely. And neither of those work. Neither of those builds a relationship. And in order for me to get to that blissful, God had to allow me to go through a couple of things, in which the key takeaway from that for me is to find the strategies in your struggles. Find the strategies in your struggles. While you're going through something, you will have to figure out, what is the best way for me to get out of this? What is the best way for me to handle this? How should I approach this? And that's the biggest part, is to start asking questions, ask different questions. When we go through stuff, we normally start to reflect on how I'm affected. Why are you doing that to me? Why is this happening to me? I do all of these things and you're never satisfied. Switch your mindset to asking questions more so towards, what can I do differently? How can I grow from this? What thoughts and what flaws is this pulling up about myself? And then how can I address those flaws? Because if I fix the flaws, then the reactions that's coming from the flaws will be fixed as well. If I go to the root work, if I hit the root of this thing, I don't have to worry about the fruit or the tree that's coming up from it because now I'm fixing the root. I know everything else is going to fall in line. So find the strategies in your struggles. Ask the questions that's going to get to the root of the problem, which is normally yourself. Switch it up from there and watch how your life changes, man. It gets so much better when you start focusing on you as the problem because you're the only thing you can control. When you're pointing at somebody else saying they're the reason, that's the reason, this is what's holding me back, you are not giving power to that thing. And until that thing says you can move or that thing says you can grow, you are going to keep pointing and keep your focus on that thing. So bring it back to yourself. Nah, I'm the problem. It's my fault. Everything is my fault. So what can I do differently in this situation moving forward? Boy, that's the best word I've had all day, man. Let's go to the last one. Number five. Come on. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters. Isaiah 43, 16. So this is Pastor Stephen Furtick as well, one of his sermons. And in the sermon, he pointed out the word in. Throughout this whole passage, he pointed out the word in. I'll read it again. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters. So he was alluding to you basically have to be in the game. When you get in the game, that's when God will create, not even create, that's when God will reveal the paths to you. But if you're not in the game, you're not going to see a way through. And my mindset took it to to me hiking. I'm not a big fan of hiking, but I love fitness. I love exercise. And so I like the difficulty of it at times. And I like the spontaneity of it as well. With this passage though, with how I live life sometimes, it seemed like I'm at a hiking trail. And I just want all the trees to move out the way. I want all the brush. I want all the logs, all the animals, everything that's on the trail ahead of me. I just want everything to be moved out the way. And I want to see the path. I want to see how all of this is going to work. I want to see where it's going to weave to the left or weave to the right. I want to see where it's going to dip down. And it might be a slippery slope. But this passage is telling me to not wish for those things to be revealed to me and not expect God to give me the whole plan up front before I'm able to move. That's not how faith works. That's not how faith works. So with this, thus says the Lord who makes a way in the sea, a path in the waters. It's when you get in there, God will start making a path. So as you start walking in the trail, gotta start putting down those landmarks and those signs to tell you, well, go to the left, go to the right. All right, this is a slope down. Now you made it to the slope, go down the slope. All right, you might have to double back a little bit, but you're gonna go around this big log and this big roadblock that's in your way. Get in the game. And the biggest takeaway for me with this is to move now. When you have a thought, when God put a thought in your head, when He puts an idea in your head, move on it immediately, as quickly as you can. Because your energy towards that thought, the faith you have towards that thought will diminish over time because now you're giving yourself space to debate. You're giving yourself space to start thinking too much. You start to think, oh, what if? What if this doesn't? What if that doesn't? What if this happens? What if I can't? And before you know it, you have built up such a wall of negativity, but also doubt that it freezes you. It keeps you in your tracks. It stops you from moving at all. So my advice is to move When you get an idea, you get a thought, and God is saying, go after this thing, move on it. Move on it as quickly as you can. Don't even give yourself the opportunity to counter it. And as you're going through it, God has started laying a path for you. God has started revealing more and more to you. And I'm in it right now. I'm doing a bunch of revamping for the brand. And man, it's literally a thought comes in. I'm working on that thought. I don't understand this. Well, I keep watching videos, and just so happens, the next video I watch is answering the question I had. Like it's crazy how stuff is starting to come together. But move now. If you have a thought, move now. And don't think you need to know everything before you move. It's going to work out if you are allowing God to guide you. I appreciate you guys. Thank you for rocking with your boy in this episode, man. You know, we always say negative news is freely given. Positive news must be searched for. And if you can't find it, then you create it. So go out there, be bold, be you, and be limitless today.